Hello there, you awakening wonders. Thanks for joining us on this voyage to truth and freedom that we are undertaking together against the great storms of corruption and deception that prevail all around. We will awaken together, by Jove, even if it takes me 1,000 on-screen assistants. Today, though, I have but one. It's Gareth Roy. Thanks for joining me to talk about the news.
Oh, thank you.
Whatever connection we may have, it is as nothing compared to the chemistry between Rishi Sunak and that fella from Ukraine that everyone likes so much, Zelensky, I think he's called. And let's have a look at him and let's have a look at them now enjoying themselves. Hey, we've got some great stuff coming on the show later, by the way, so stay with us. If you're watching us on YouTube, there's a link in the description. You can join us on Rumble where we do this stuff untrammeled by common decency. No, not common decency, censorship. We're still decent and by God are we common, but we do a lot of anti-establishment rhetoric. For example, we're going to be talking about, Albert Baller mugging off RFK, you know, Robert F. Kennedy, like saying, oh, you know, I don't know why. He says this, he goes, if you mistrust vaccines and, you know,
allegedly. I've got
no opinion on them over here on OOP, but like he goes, you're actually against all science, isn't he? So it's like you don't like Galileo. You don't like Galileo, he's an idiot, or Louis Pasteur, or the last that Mary Curie.
Doogie Howser.
Doogie. Doogie Howser lie in the trash can of history now.
Yeah.
Does he? I don't think so. He's alive and well.
I feel physically sick.
We're going to be talking about how the Democrat Party is funded. Is it an oligarchical machine funded by big donors? And on our item, here's the news. We're going to be looking at how they're using Mexican drug cartels to legitimize prolonging the post-9/11 Patriot Act surveillance that allows them to store your data. And then like later on down the line, go, oh, have you got that data from them lot? You know, yeah, of course we have. Got everyone's data, right? Let's use it because they've become a bit of a dissident. But first, in our country, the UK, you can surely see from the bucolic wonder all about me that we are in Britain, the country until sadly latterly of Her Majesty, where dear Meghan Markle attends coronations dressed outrageously. Like, what was that sort of sheepdog person she was trying to be, Meghan Markle?
You know, it's a brilliant disguise is what
brilliant
it was.
Disguise.
If the conspiracy theorists are right, and if, I think
and
they
I
are.
We've established that they are. We ain't heard a conspiracy theory yet that we don't like. We like all, the problem is with a lot of these conspiracy theories, some of them are just plain fact, aren't they?
Right.
Some of them are silly, like this one.
This one.
Like, that's not Meghan Markle sat next to Andrew Lloyd Webber. Why not have him? Like, we have a show called Ant and Deck here, don't we? That could be Ant and Deck.
Yes. Yeah. That's
easily
one of their best disguises.
You don't know. If you're American, just look up Ant and Deck. We ain't got all day to describe it because we've got to go now to talking about Zelensky, haven't we?
The thing about this, just a really quick point about this. What about conspiracy theories? This is the kind of conspiracy theory that appears on the news so that they can say all conspiracy theorists, you know, like the one about Wuhan and those other ones, they're all...
Wait a minute, Wuhan. Wait a minute.
Allegedly.
Wasn't there more to that than million?
No, it's the same. It's the same as this. It's the same as...
Oh, it's like that conspiracy theory that in 2008 they sort of quantitatively eased all of those failing banks and institutions after they gambled us into, you know, like, we got some information there that's going to... If you are a conspiracy theorist, get ready for whatever your body's response is to erotic stimuli. Get ready to feel it because we got some news coming, baby.
Hitler is dead.
But also, Rishi Sunak met with a little fella named Zelensky. Let's have a look. Rishi Sunak, he's probably a good human being. He made a lot of money for is he? Because he partied his whole way through. He didn't let COVID get him down.
No, he certainly
didn't.
He
did not let COVID get him down. No. He partied through COVID. Mm. Well, you might have been watching Nan's funeral on YouTube. Not Rishi. He was living the vida loco, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He was living the vida loco.
I think you take pity on him because he's
geeky.
Very geeky and awkward.
When I see him looking awkward like that, I feel like I can remember kids at school that were sort of trying hard and like that they're a bit slumpy like that when they walk. Like they're sort of like falling forwards a bit. And I think he's trying his best and he's got nice hair. I'm just trying to see the good in him. But I do feel like that the hedge fund that he was involved in funded Moderna. And I feel like Mrs. is a billionaire. Not as if you're being a billionaire.
Allegedly.
Non-dom doesn't pay tax or didn't pay tax.
That's not good.
That's not great.
That ain't good, non-dom. Mm. Non-dom.
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 We can't keep saying non-dom.
No. Sounds nice, though. Mm. Look, for God's sake, let's just see what Zelensky, he's arrived here, and this is a type of helicopter called a Chinook. I would say needlessly militaristic arrival there from Zelensky, because he wouldn't have come all the way from Ukraine in that.
Point proven.
What?
Well done, Zelensky.
Yeah, all right, I get it. That's the imagery we want. You're in the war. Fair enough. Where are you getting all these weapons? Actually, we're getting them all from you. That's how we talk, isn't it? I'm not being out of order. That is how we talk.
Sure, yeah.
Actually, thanks very much, mate.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure he's like... He's not a cockney with a dodgy voice.
Yeah, I said still morning, long-range missiles. Yeah, if you want to join us in locals, you can chat to us. What kind of copter? That's called a Chinook, that Firegirl 2020. You can join us in the chat like these people. People say mad stuff in there, so go steady, guys, is what I will say. He'd be better be front row for the coronation, says Marvin Brando. Yeah, see? Cockney Dalek, says Night Sports.
Nice.
Nice nickname. Why don't one of you call yourself that in there? All right, let's look at Zelensky arriving by a Chinook. And the bit that is worst is they have this thing on TV now called Constructed Reality. You know those terrible dating shows that you see on Netflix, very badly produced? They're called things like Too Hot to...
Handle.
Yeah, Too Hot to Trottle. Too Hot to Spit on Your Leg type stuff.
Yeah.
Right? What they do is they go, oh, look, why don't you go in there, you, Julie, go and talk to Andrew.
Yeah, and those manipulative producers,
oh,
aren't they?
They sicken me. And then they call it like a scene, don't they?
They call it a scene,
that's what they call it. Yeah. That's what they do. Well, this is like constructed reality, particularly when Zelensky and Rishi Sunak, Prime Minister of this country, did you vote for him? and they have a conversation. Have a look. All leaders like Zelensky, this is not an attack on people. If you like Russia's invasion, is criminal, albeit in my view provoked by NATO. It's criminal. There is a humanitarian disaster. Ukrainian people should be protected, I believe, by the ending of that war as soon as possible through diplomatic means. Right. So I've just said that so as you know, in case you're watching it. So in case you're a journalist watching it, trying to find something antagonistic to write. So you'll have to now admit that I said that. You'll know while you're admitting that. I'm editorialising this. Is this wrong? Is this wrong that I'm doing this, trying to make the world more evil? I already know it is, but I've got to do it. It's a job now. I think other world leaders get off on Zelensky because they feel like, whoa, look, he's wearing all that combat gear.
Yeah.
Actually, my job is important. I'm not just marshalling elite interests and subjugating the population of this country who fund all this stuff through their tax dollars or tax pounds or whatever. I'm actually important, and there could be a war that I'd be in. In fact, there might be if we keep provoking Russia because they're getting peeved, I believe.
They certainly are.
Aren't they on high alert for nuclear weapons?
They are, mate.
Both land, sea, and air, all types of nuclear. Putin's gone, we could send any one of them. We're not even decided yet, all of them. Anyway, so I think they sort of think, yeah, I'm important. I'm not just a stooge of the system marshalling resources towards an elite, like the wealth transfer that happened in the pandemic period. I'm not that. I could be in a combat jacket.
Boris was exactly the same, wasn't he? That was his thing. He was, I'm going to be part of this. I'm going to show how much support I'm giving to Ukraine. You know, we're going to win this war and I'll go down in history. I think they get off on it.
It legitimizes, they feel. It provides a grandeur to the bureaucratic skullduggery and duplicity of ordinary government. A war with the heroism of those that are willing to give their lives for it somehow underwrites the ordinary corruption of the sort of hedge fund establishment figures. That's my view.
But especially here to Chequers, which is, and you are actually the first foreign leader that I've had the privilege of welcoming here as Prime Minister. And there's a lot of great history here. In fact, this room that we're standing in, Winston Churchill made many of his famous speeches in World War.
So they're utilising the mythology of the war, the paraphernalia and ephemera of war, the camo jackets and like his hoodie and everything, as well as the history of war and prestige to distract us, in my opinion, and let me know what you think in the chat and the comments, from the fact that a lot of military industrial complex business will get done as a result of this meeting. There's a bunch of long range missiles.
Yeah,
these
cruise missiles. Yeah, what we're not seeing, this is essentially a propaganda mission at the same time to, I guess, go along with the story that the UK is supplying Ukraine with multiple cruise missiles. The thing about these cruise missiles is they go three times the range that the current US ones that Ukraine have. they can...
But at a price that's right.
At a price that's right.
Three times the missile, but at the same price.
But they can get to territory that's currently Russian-occupied, i.e. Crimea. Now, Crimea, I don't know if you remember a few months ago, but Putin at one point did say Crimea was the red line. Mm. So essentially what's going on here is, it's very nice they're meeting on the lawn, and yes, we need to protect Ukraine and all these things, but we're essentially saying, we'll give you these missiles that can reach Crimea, which Putin has said is a red line, and that he'd be willing to use nuclear...
I think we can all agree that protecting Ukrainian people is a good thing. Now what we're discussing is the means for protecting Ukrainian people and who ought be charged with that duty. Now, of course, it's going to be people currently in positions of political power, whether they were elected or not. And is the method for ending this conflict likely to be a military victory against Russia by, you know, as Gareth just suggested, bombing Crimea with those missiles, which has already been identified as a red line and a provocation for nuclear conflict, which will also affect Ukrainian people as well as non-Ukrainian people and all people anywhere ever. So in a sense, what happens, I think, the way that the mainstream media, and let me know in the chat if you agree with this, continually manage this narrative is by saying that if you are a dissenter or skeptic or critical of this conflict, what you are fundamentally agreeing with is the criminality of the invade. You're saying that Russia's criminal invasion is okay and that it's all right to let Ukrainian people suffer, when I feel that those all those ideas don't need to be meshed together. And I think people needlessly alloy those issues together in order to prevent the conversation advancing.
Yeah, I mean, I was reading a piece on Stop the War earlier. Now, Stop the War have existed for so long. They've written about Iraq, Afghanistan, all sorts of things. They go on marches, all sorts of things, and they're saying these cruise missiles could be very dangerous for exactly that reason. Now, you have to at some point go, could this just be a similar thing to those previous wars then?
Anyway. Spygirl 2020 says, no, we're not saying that, Russell, but I don't know what you mean. You can tell me what you mean again, and we'll check you when we get a chance. We'll read that stuff. Well, let's have a look at it just to see some of the awkwardness between Rishi and Zelensky. And remember some of those Marvin Gaye, Diana Ross duets in the sort of late 70s? It's a bit like them.
Two from this room. And in the same way today, your leadership, your country's bravery and fortitude are an inspiration to us all. I look forward to us discussing what more we can do to support you and your country.
First of all, thank you very much. You supported already a lot for us. You did a lot, you, your government, and His Majesty, the King, and of course your people, your society. We are very thankful from all our hearts, from Ukrainians, from our soldiers. We are thankful. And it's a privilege to be here. Yes, the first time. You said not the last.
Definitely not the last.
So, we, of course, we'll discuss very important issues, urgent support for Ukraine and security. For, I think not only for Ukraine, it's important for all the Europe. So thank you. Thank you that you hosted me and invited me.
In a way, you're just invited to observe this as a authentic and realistic exchange rather than look at what this masks and what it veils. You recall during the CNN town hall with Donald Trump that one of the most contentious moments was when the interviewer continually asked Donald Trump, whose side are you on? Are you against Russia? Will you say you're against Russia? And Donald Trump said in one of the moments in that discourse where I found myself agreeing with Donald Trump, that isn't important. What's important is ending the conflict so people from Ukraine and Russia stop dying, because it's not to the benefit of anybody. And it appears that the Biden administration are going to any length to keep diplomacy off the table, whether that's criticizing Chinese efforts to broker a peace deal, or even Donald Trump using as part of his presidential campaign. And you think what you like. I know loads of you love Donald Trump and loads of you hate Donald Trump. In a sense, the personalities are irrelevant. What we're talking about is the principle of diplomacy versus the ongoing arming of Ukraine, prolonging the conflict in order to either benefit this humanitarian effort or, as detractors would say, benefit the military-industrial complex. You can decide for yourself what you think is best. And let us know in the comments and chat. You're smarter than us, accumulatively. We're very, very bright. Let's have a look at the ongoing propaganda of the Biden administration that now extends to TikTokery. And Tim Dillon, fellow podcaster, had a couple of the young kids that are being funded by Biden. Is that right?
Yeah, well, we don't know if they're being funded or not. That hasn't been revealed, but they are like influencers who the Biden administration have kind of are bringing together. They're giving them their own briefing room at the White House, apparently.
I'd love a briefing room.
Yeah, of course you would. Yeah. What would you do in there, though?
Just want to do anywhere, really. Sit down, think about God, think about death, worry, play with the dog. But at least I'd know I was doing it in a briefing room. So on Tim Dillon, what do they say, these kids? They sort of query the legitimacy of the whole venture.
He's brought them on because there's been controversy around them because of this whole deal. Because it's like, you know, I guess it's like using TikTok to win over young voters at the same time that these Marianne Williamson
being
things
banned,
are being banned. And
won't debate RFK.
Right.
Let us know if you've seen our interview with RFK. It's up on Rumble right now. If you're a member of Locals, you can tell us in the chat about it. It was one of the best conversations I've had with someone who knows the establishment inside out. And in particular, we'll be looking at the next few days about RFK's claims that, can I even say it on YouTube, that the military were involved in the manufacture, I think we can say, that the military were involved in the manufacture of certain medications, and that the National Security Agency headed up the entire warp speed operation as opposed to the NIH or the CDC or many of the other beloved and definitely not corrupt organizations that came to prominence during that period. RFK, whatever you think of him and whether or not you're aware of the ongoing slurs, is certainly a person who understands how American politics works from the inside and seems to me to be a very principled man who's attempting to deal with some of the issues we continually talk about on this channel. He's saying that he would seriously investigate what went on in the last couple of years, that he wants to disband the CIA. I mean, like, if you think the problem with the world is that you have a corporatized democracy to the degree where the will of the people is irrelevant and the donor class is what governs what happens in national and indeed global politics, then RFK is talking about those issues in a way, I suppose, that was comparable to some of the rhetoric around Donald Trump, although I'm sure we all have different views on how that was delivered in government. Let's check out what these young TikTokers say on Tim Dillon. And his TikTokers isn't really a thing. Is that all right? That's not bad,
is
it?
That's fine.
I made a mistake.
You sound very young.
Well, I'm quite young. Just in my hat. I'm basically a young person.
I know.
Young, not jaded person. I guess have a look at these kids.
And a lot of the people on our side, like, if they start hearing, like, I've actually done it before. I've criticized, like, Democrats, like, specifically Hakeem Jeffries, and it all just went south. Like, I started losing followers. Like, it's bad, right? And I really want to be that person that, like, reaches the other side, because Democrats, I mean, they're horrible at their jobs, right? They do a lot of shitty things, although I'll vote for them all the time. But it's also hard in this space to criticize
them. Can we clip that quote? They're horrible at their jobs.
Please don't clip that.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
That's the problem with propaganda, is it's sort of managed narratives and it's not underwritten by truth. You remember only too well that during the pandemic period, we said, hey, you know how through these various apps that are allowing people to track and trace COVID, for your own good, what if they decided after the pandemic that they would continue to track and trace people, continue to use data? I mean, it's not like, you know, years after 9/11, they're still trying to keep the legislation to survey potential threats alive, even though that threat is acknowledged to have diminished by highlighting the threat that cartels pose to the American population. We'll be going into depth on that story a little later. Even in our country, the UK, with a new king barely on the throne, with Meghan Markle sat there mustachioed and pistachioed like she's on candid camera, they're still spying on us. The pandemic may be over, but UK mobile network cell phone providers are still monitoring population movement. What do you think about that? Are you astonished? Are you surprised?
Not really. Yeah. So this is like O2 and BT, which, like, our American viewers might not know, but they're tracking the movements of people.
British Telecom.
Like they did during COVID.
O2, that's not named after a bit of air. It's out of order, isn't it? But we'll name ourselves after a bit of air.
So it's going to track people's journeys on rail and road and footfall in suburban areas. But this is something that obviously we know the CDC did. I mean, again, going kind of stateside.
Did they do the same thing?
Well, they did the same thing. They tracked tens of millions of phones in the United States. They bought this data during the pandemic, like paying a lot, hundreds of thousands or millions, to track people's movements during the pandemic. And this is, as so many people predicted, these things will be brought in during the pandemic and then they'll be continued afterwards. And it's exactly what they're saying. Those conspiracy theorists.
Conspiracy theorists, yeah, because conspiracy theories need go no further than whether or not Meghan Markle dragged up to dress as that composer fella to turn up to the coronation. Like, as if that's the issue, where there's someone getting oil poured on their head to say that they're better than you. What an outrageous scenario it is.
It's your comments. It's your comments. It's your comments. It's your comments.
I mean, you've got mail.
Oh, God, that's so bad, isn't it? Like, normally, when you watch people's work, don't you think, well, what good work they're doing? Mm. I won't be able to do that. Like, it could be someone, like, tending to a garden, pruning a tree,
yes.
Making, like, you know, makes it right. But I watch that, I think, like, if you just showed me for 10, 20 seconds how to do that, I can even hear the individual voices of people that work here.
That's
on that.
Right.
It's offensive, isn't it? Let's have a look at them in there. Look at what they're doing. That lad, I can hear his voice. That's Al, yeah, who one time, if you were watching the day that suddenly the stream dropped off, that was Al's fault. He did that. He's 60% Al because he only does 60% of the things. Young Joe there, he's actually quite reliable. But where's Jack? Where is Jack?
Yeah, Jack's over there. Yeah. There he is.
I can't think of anyone in history that has had the name Jack, even in Whitechapel, London, in the East End, that has wreaked more harm and havoc on innocent people.
Yeah, yeah.
Jack.
He's the worst one.
He's the worst of all of them. There we go. All right, well, let's not use that ever again. That was appalling, lads. Now, let's have really, really bad, even by our own low, postmodern, lo-fi standards. That was appalling. Here's some general comments. This is under the subheading. Russell, love you, love your show, but Gareth is not your on-screen assistant. He is amazing. Excuse me. He is your co-host. Please give credit where it's due. Prayer hands twice. I think that was for tax reasons. I think you're called.
I think it was. Yeah,
you're called something else now, aren't you? Well, let's change his credit.
I think I'm an editor now or something like that.
Oh God! Yeah. I don't know. Let's let them lot make up what you should be called. I'd just be astonished to see what they do. P. Kivy, thank you for making the news effing bearable. Tom at Tomendo, these are all our friends in the show. I'll be there, big man. Will you be dressed and ready this time? This refers to a moment when I was still dressing right as we landed. Mm. That's how live this show is. I'm literally nude before we begin. Mm.
It's a real treat for the team.
I know. Yeah, that's what people need to see, is an aging man sliding into his clobber. Apologetic pest. Does Russell wear underwear? Yeah. Stay free. Yes. Hallie Baker, I would like to own Russell's clothes. I bet they would look great on girls too. Why don't we have a new clothing brand?
I think they would, actually. Sometimes, you notice a lot of men's clothes look better on women.
I also notice that a lot of women's clothes look better on men, because sometimes I look around, right, at what people are wearing, thinking, whose clothes here would I wear if I had to?
Yeah.
It's normally a woman's.
Right.
You've
got to say you'd wear this. This is your own merch.
Wear that crap. It's probably made in a sweatshop. It's nice. Made legit by people that paid at a price.
I'm dressed
right.
As Zelensky today. Yeah,
you can't see the logo, no, gal. The don't logo. Crush them, Lynn. Show that properly. I would wear that. Of course I would, and you can too. There's a link in the description if you want it.
Stay free with Russell Brand. See it first on Rumble.
All right, so I mean, RFK said that the military manufactured the vaccines more than the pharmaceutical industry. He was even saying things like Pfizer and Moderna were covers. Is this true? Because I said to him in the conversation, like, there's, in fact, one of your comments was, did you bring a fart to a shit fight or whatever it was? Like this one. Look, this is a comment from Kaylin Cook. Hearing the entire pandemic and vaccine rollout were headed by the National Security Agency is perhaps the most horrifying thing in this entire interview. You can watch the whole interview. It's up now. Not to mention 150 military contractors manufacturing the jabs rather than the pharma companies themselves. That sounds like a colossal bombshell. This was medical democide on a scale humanity has never seen before. Democide is when a government kills its population. We all know that, for God's sake. Now, let's have a look at RFK making these claims, and I like RFK. I think he, you know, if I was a person that voted in America, I'd be voting for him, though it's irrelevant, isn't it? Because it's a Democrat Party internal affair, isn't it, at the moment. You just wait for them to malign him, sideline him, like they did with the much less outrageous, by their reckoning, Bernie Sanders. I could tell you'd wear silk panties during the ice bath, says Asturias Turge.
We're talking about Operation Warp Speed.
So am I, darling. So am I. Those silk panties with an ice cube down and I move like lightning, sting like a bee. Let's have a look at RFK.
The top organization that had managed Warp Speed was not HHS, which is a public health agency. It wasn't CDC or NIH or FDA. It was the NSA, a spy agency. So that was the top. Agency, the lead agency on Operation Warp Speed and the pandemic was the NSA. And the second agency was the Pentagon. And when you start looking at, you know, the vaccines were developed not by Moderna and Pfizer. They were developed by NIH. They're owned. The patents are owned 50% by NIH. nor were they manufactured by Pfizer or by Moderna. They were manufactured by military contractors. And basically, Pfizer and Moderna were paid to put their stamps on those vaccines as if they came from the pharmaceutical industry. But, you know, that's not what they were doing. They were coming from, you know, this was a military project from the beginning.
Right. Peace Love Light says that she's watched the interview multiple times and that he's brilliant. And lots of people have said that RFK shows he's working out. I believe we've had some documentation on this military claim. Now, I can't understand that. That's so confusing. Sure. That's like trying to pay attention to a World Cup much too early, like when they're trying to qualify for the group stages. But isn't there sort of a breakdown of, is this to do with the funding and how?
No, so this is to do with basically the military personnel that were involved in Operation Warp Speed. So Operation Warp Speed, which we all assumed at the time was, you know, scientists
white,
of course,
lab coats, Bunsen burners, pipettes, right, test tubes.
But it was majority military, yes.
Guns, camo, helmets.
That's it.
Asshole, private, what is your major malfunction?
Yeah,
that.
That's it, yeah.
Shall I read it, or are you going to read it?
Go for it.
No, that's not even the first word. It was only a two-letter word. An organizational chart of Operation Warp Speed, the $10 billion initiative obtained by STAT, which is a type of magazine, reveals the fullest picture yet of Operation Warp Speed, a highly structured organization in which military personnel vastly outnumber civilian scientists. Okay. The chart shows that roughly 60 military officials, including at least four generals, are involved in the leadership of Operation Warp Speed, many of whom have never worked in healthcare or vaccine development. Just 29 of the roughly 90 leaders on the chart aren't employed by the Department of Defense. Now, by that analysis, you'd have to say it was the Department of Defense that were leading that project. Mm. But to play devil's advocate just for a moment, sure, wouldn't you say that because it was a logistical operation about the distribution of resources and the management of a population, potentially, that I mean, what's their counter-argument going to be? It's not going to be, oh, no, it was some crazy thing, it's a bioweapon. That's not going to be the... They're not going to admit that. And there's, I don't think that even RFK is saying...
I think the surprise is the ratio. When you hear like many of these military members have never worked in healthcare or vaccine development, and just 29 weren't employed by the Department of Defense, it seems like the ratio isn't quite right.
Are you surprised by that information? Let us know in the chat and the comments. One senior federal health official told STAT he was struck by the presence of soldiers in military uniforms walking around the health department's headquarters in downtown Washington, and said recently he'd seen more than 100 officials in the corridors wearing Desert Storm fatigues. Well, that's pretty interesting.
Currently, the US Army is developing a pan-coronavirus vaccine that could apparently protect against any COVID variant.
Who's developing that?
The US Army is developing it at the moment.
There's a headline for that, isn't there? Let's show that asset. I saw that earlier today, I figure. Like, if you've got it, guys. I feel like, yeah, I've heard that story. So, it appears that the military industrial complex and defense contractors, and even the military outside of defense contractors like Raytheon, Lockheed Martin, all those names that we're so fond of reciting, are across what has been broadly presented as a medical emergency, even though subsequently you would have to say that there were many, many errors in the way that this was handled, whether it was the medical response, the social response, the lockdowns, the use of data, the censorship, the condemnation of people that were, as they called it, vaccine hesitant.
I think it's probably The issue with it being US Army and Pentagon related, I mean, obviously, like prior to the knowledge that we had of the pharmaceutical industry, that was pretty bad anyway. But around the Pentagon and we literally knew recently about the audits that the Pentagon have failed, the lack of transparency around the Pentagon, the revolving door within the Pentagon and the military industrial complex. It's not the kind of place that, I guess, if you're looking to solve the pandemic, that you want people thinking this is the institution who's developing our vaccines. It doesn't paint a great picture. And
no,
doesn't
it
give
doesn't.
You so much
because
trust.
It seems like social control, and it does seem to align with some of the Martin Guri analysis of, at a time where it's more difficult to control a population, you have to invent situations that would warrant asserting and exerting control over a population.
Stay free with Russell Brand. See it first on Rumble.
Firstly, let's have a look at this. This is Albert Bourla, CEO of Pfizer.
Well, that's not him.
I don't know who that is, but she's in a minute. She's from Reuters.
She's from Reuters.
She's from Reuters. She's a job in journo, and she's talking to CEO of Pfizer, Albert Bourla, about a vaccine hesitancy and people that are critical of their products and stuff. Let's have a look.
Another legacy of the pandemic has been growing mistrust of vaccines. It has contributed, as you know, to the rise of figures like Robert F. Kennedy. What needs to be done to counter this wider assault on vaccines?
Transparency, efficacy, releasing all of the clinical trials, being honest about the deficiencies, being honest and open about adverse reactions, accepting that it wasn't effective as it was initially promised, admitting that it was never trialed for transmission. That's my answer.
It's a good list.
Good list. Let's see what Albert Baller says.
I think it's a very difficult situation, and I would say, unfortunately, it's not an assault on vaccines, it's on science. Everything that is scientific right now is disputed.
He's saying that if you are cynical about their product, you know, vaccines, say, that you are actually, that's an assault on science itself, on Galileo, on cosmology, on chemistry, on biology, on all the beauty and grace that has emerged from our kind's intrepid endeavor to understand the material universe. That ain't the case, is it? It's simply, hold on a minute, this seems to be underwritten by Echo. Like, how do you reconcile that with some of the things that have come out of our RFK conversation? It's plainly emerged from legitimate concern and from the mishandling of the entire pandemic. Also, that is contextualized by years of exploitation by companies like Pfizer. How can you say, I suppose you're not going to if you run Pfizer, go, well, it weren't very good, that opioid pandemic, and all them out-of-court settlements for billions.
Allegedly.
You can't, like for other products, of course. You know, you can't say that, can you?
I just think, you know, again, with the news or whatever this is, like Reuters, I mean, that is, it's a news network in some form, isn't it? I just think you should give the full picture. So I think if you're going to say, you know, RFK and it's irresponsible and maybe there's some misinformation there, I don't know. But then I would also say, isn't it true, Albert Baller, that in November 22, you were rapped by the UK pharmaceutical watchdog for making misleading statements about children's vaccines? Basically, he kind of essentially, you could say, lied about the efficacy of vaccines. And as we know now, the Pfizer COVID vaccine was just 12% effective against Omicron in kids 5 to 11. So there is information out there.
88% ineffective. Like, you know, like what I feel is that there are direct commercial and financial relationships between the media and Pfizer. I bet you could find one between Reuters and Pfizer. And even where there are not direct financial ties, there are just cultural ties. The way that through, you know, both the advertising model and the number of companies that will, or sort of stock bond companies that will own shares in media organizations and Pfizer. So like that you're not, because remember that other one, that moonshot interview where he was on something like CNN and they were like, how did you come up with this? Like, you don't ever see a figure like Baller grilled except on that brief walk he mistakenly took around Davos when people from like Rebel Media tag teamed him with difficult questions for 10 minutes on the street.
Yeah. I mean, as a news organization, you should be asking about the relationship between pharmaceutical companies and the government, between pharmaceutical companies and the FDA, about the massive profits that were made, about some of the statements around the efficacy that didn't prove to be true. Now, that, all those that things, I think you can completely say and still say the vaccine should have been taken by a certain age group. I think all of those things can exist in the same space. But if you're only going to ask like one portion of those questions, you're not doing your job properly, are you?
No, there's no objectivity and there's no attempt to tell a clear story. And I'm sure we have our own biases, but those are all Gareth's fault. Tomorrow we've got Matthew Connolly coming on talking about the secretive world of US intelligence and what they're hiding from you. I think you're going to be astonished that it ain't good things. These documents contain detailed plans for a birthday party, you know. And then, you know, we're going to continue. If you ain't joined our locals community, there's a red button somewhere there on your screen. Is it there? Am I pointing to it? Yeah, it's somewhere along there. There. There it is. There it is. It took me that long to get to it that it's not there. Oh, and if you do, there, it's there. There it is. Ugh, I can almost taste it. You can also you get podcasts.
It's gone mad that I could just clip up on a daily basis.
Clip all that up.
That would have been today's clip.
I'm a soothsayer and a shaman and a modern day prophet. That's right here. Feed on the titty milk of true for you, don't you? You
that
get
bit as well.
You get weakness or news. Basically, the majority of it looks like a man in decline. I do weekly meditations exclusive for you. Plus, I do like a community event. It's worth joining. It's really good, isn't it, Gal?
Yeah.
I mean, yes, where you do some of your best on screen assisting.
That's right. Yeah.
You can come to our community festival in mid-July if you want to spend some live time with me, Wim Hof, Callie Means, Vandana Shiva, Satish Kumar, B.S. Skimpkin, Eddie Stern. It's like yoga, it's meditation. Huron Grace is going to be there. You can do Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu with me. I'm going to get... finally, a famous person's doing Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu that I will fight.
Oh.
Zuckerberg.
Oh.
Tom Hardy.
No.
I'm not doing Jiu-Jitsu with Bane.
No.
Because he'll use Bane stuff.
Of course he will.
I don't want to have to... Like, that make me...
It sounded like Daniel Day-Lewis.
I drink your milkshake. I love Daniel Day-Lewis.
I know.
I miss him. I met once next to Jim Sheridan, director of Name of the Father on a Plane. I know you I tell you this all the time. Yeah. But he went, like, when Daniel Day-Lewis, I goes, was it true that he went and be a cobbler for 4 years to prepare for a pie? He goes, yeah, he gave me a pair of those shoes. They were shit. Like, he criticised the quality of the shoes. All right, so listen, we're going to go over to being on Locals now. Join us on Rumble tomorrow. Not for more of the same. We wouldn't insult you with that, but for more of the different. Until then, stay free. Join Locals, though. We're going to do a great show right now. We'll probably boot you out and let you back in again. It's weird, isn't it, Phil? Yeah, we boot you out. So if you're in the net, you're going to get booted out, which is weird. But then just wait there because we're going to let you back in again. It's weird, all right? Zuckerberg will kick your ass, says that girl. He will not. I'll take you, Zuckerberg! I will choke him out. I will footlock him. Zuckerberg, I will get you, sucker. Will I?
Yeah.
Of course I will. I don't think so, unless he's got some weird, I don't know. Maybe when you meet him, he might do sort of weird stuff. He might stare at me like in like a metaverse. Yeah. Like when he's in that metaverse commercial. Mm. What's his reach? His reach ain't in relevant pride faults, not in BJJ. I'm going to close the distance. I'm going to go be on the bottom. I'm going to get him in my guard. I'm going to use spider guard as he tries to stand up. I'm going to stretch him out. And as I begin to sweep him, I shoot the leg. Triangle. You're out, Zuckerberg. You're out. Now I want 10% of his stocks. All right, let's go. Join us over on Locals. I'll see you there in a second. Stay free. Switch on, switch off, 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 switch on, switch off.